Monday morning here. Thank you for joining me. I am currently in a series on prayer, and God has been giving me information in ways that I wasn't quite thinking he was going to go, but I'm so grateful for it. So I am going to talk about friendship this morning in prayer. We have talked the last few Monday meditations on different things that he has granted through prayer. First time we talked about access was granted and how awesome and wonderful that is, and then relationship. But I'm going to go a little further this morning than relationship granted to actually friendship, because you can still have, as we talked about, you can have access but not relationship. We talked about that, like maybe with the president of the United States or a king or a queen. You can have access like a reporter has, but you don't have relationship. But even further, because there is some sort of relationship, I guess, between the president and a reporter, or the king and queen and a reporter. And because if they're there a long time and see them, they know their names, they get, you know, they get to know them a little bit. But friendship is a different level. And so prayer has granted us friendship. Now, I know that you may be thinking from the title, I kind of thought of that first too, that God calls us his friend, and we're going to go into that later. But what God talked to me about initially is this friendship here on earth that I have through prayer. And it gets solidified sometimes more than others. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." So we're going to go to the both parts of that verse. Let's look at the first part first. A man of many companions may come to ruin. So it's actually kind of a negative aspect of, not necessarily friendship, but a friendship or companions that are many. Because, you know, it is hard if you have a lot of friends to be close to them, because you're spreading yourself thin. You don't have one or two or three or a handful of people that you are talking to on the regular, and they are getting to know you. So if you ask, and you have a lot of friends, and you ask them for an opinion, they may not be able to weigh in as correctly as someone who's close to you. Think about it. Maybe it's a job. Well, they don't know you well enough, or a college degree, to know if you should go that direction, if that's your bent in life, if that's your passion and that's what you love, because they really don't know you that well. Now, if you have a good, discerning, godly friend, they are on the phone listening to you asking those questions, and they may not know, but they're like, "God, can you give me wisdom and insight?" And that's what a godly friend would do for you if they don't know, because obviously someone is not going to know everything about you and every situation. So they're praying and they're asking, and they are either going to say, "Hey, this is what I feel like God said when you were talking. There's this part you didn't think about maybe, or let's talk about this other area." So that's a good friend. They go to God for counsel in prayer, and they're talking to you and giving you advice. And then they may still, though, say, "Hey, I don't know. I'm talking to God, but I don't hear anything." That's okay too. You know, they can still retreat in prayer from answering your question. Say, "I'm going to pray that God give you wisdom. I'm going to pray that God give you insight." Or they're going to say, "I'm going to pray that God brings someone that can help you with this and can talk through with you." Does that make sense? You know, I pray that for my children sometimes. You know, God, if there's other people in their lives that could talk to them, bring those people into their lives. So that's a really good prayer. They're still being and giving godly counsel, even though they may not know the answer for you. And then there's the second part of that verse. "But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." You know, when I was looking at it, thinking of the verb tense it uses there, it doesn't say a friend that is there. It actually, and I pay attention to the words that the Bible says, because I believe that God puts words in there like we need to hear. He doesn't put words that are extra. He doesn't put, you know, he puts specific words he has allowed the authors of the Bible to put in. So there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's present tense. It's not who hangs around with you. It's who makes a choice to stick like I say, not hangs around even, sticks closer than a brother. They are there with you through thick and thin. They know that times are rough, but they are there with you. It's a matter of choosing to them because of the relationship. There may be bumps in the road. They may be something negative that happens, but they're like, you know what? But I value you. You know, you probably just had a bad day when you answered me that way and were short or whatever, but I value the relationship. And so I'm going to just retreat in prayer, pray for you. And then I'm going to, you know, come back and restore the relationship or talk to you about something. You know, they don't say things, and you may feel in a friendship, I've messed up too many times, but they shouldn't, you know, feel like you've messed up too many times, you're not worthy, because that's what we talked about the other day, that God doesn't feel that way about you. God doesn't feel you're unworthy. God doesn't feel those things, because remember, we talked about all the lengths he went to grant us access because, you know, of the sin, and he knew that sin was going to happen because it says that there was a lamb that was slain from the foundation of, before the foundation of the world. Before we committed the sin, he sent the Savior to die for us. Why? Because of relationship. He valued it that much. And your friends know that you're going to mess up. They know who they are and you are, and they're nobody's perfect. And so friendship is about sticking with someone through thick and thin and forgiving them. And sometimes when they don't even know they need forgiveness, they're just having a rough time. And you're over, remember, prayer is the greatest wireless connection. You are over in your place in the world and wherever you are. And they're in another place in the world, whether it's several miles or across the globe, and you are connecting and praying for them. You know, verse 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, in that first part of the verse, it said, for two are better than one, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Now, I know that talks about physical labor. That's probably what that's talking about. But think about the people who toil with you in prayer. That is a great reward. You know, I talked about, you know, hurricane and our cell towers were down and we had horrible reception here and phone calls were dropped and people sounded like they were underwater and stuff like that. But you know what? Prayer is not dependent on cell towers. You know, we have this lovely pandemic going on, but prayer is not limited by this pandemic. Prayer is not limited by anything. It's not afraid. It's not retreating. It has not been touched by what is going on, because prayer is transcendent, is everywhere. It is connecting us everywhere through the greatest, world's greatest wireless connection, you know? So when I call people, it's interesting to me because your friends have different life experiences. Just like I, as an occupational therapist, I have different life professional experiences than another occupational therapist. We don't all bring the exact same thing to the table because, you know, I've been an occupational therapist for 28 years. I've gone to different continuing ed than other people have, and they've gone to different ones than I have. So we have a different skill set, but you know what? That's like your friends. I called a friend the other day, and I hadn't talked to her in a little while, and her name just came to my mind. Just absolutely came to my mind. Call her. You know, I could see her name and hear her name as clear as it could be. I knew that's who I needed to call. So I was like, okay. And I wanted to let her know of a situation because I needed prayer. And the things that she said, I was just amazed and just so thankful that she said things to me that I, in my situation, could not think of and probably would never think of, was life experiences that your friends bring. And another friend that I called, and they said, let me tell you about a sermon I just heard. Or, you know, friend will say, let me tell you about a scripture I just read. And I thought this was for me, but this is for you. You need to hear this. I hear what you're going through. You need to hear what I just heard from God. It applies to your situation. Wow. That's what we have in prayer, is that we can call on friends anytime, day or night. And I tell my friends that all the time. Like, you call me any time of the night. And they're like, okay. And I can tell they're not going to call me in the middle of the night when they're up and they're alone and crying or thinking or whatever. And I look at them and I say, if I needed help in the middle of the night, would you want me to call you? And they say, yes. And I say, yeah, you get it? So I mean it when I say, if you need something in the middle of the night, call me. And then they get it, because they would want me if I was, you know, at wit's end and I was suffering and having something great going on in my life, they would want me to call them at any time of the day or night. And that's what has been granted through prayer, is a friendship with people here on earth. You know, we have an unimaginable relationship and access and a friendship with the Almighty God, as we talked about a while back. Wonderful Counselor, give you all wisdom, Prince of Peace, I mean, Everlasting Father, those verses, that verse that we read in Isaiah 9:6. But then we also have the Holy Spirit here, who's interceding for me when I don't even have words. And my friends are the same way, honestly, not the same exact as the Holy Spirit, but they're the same as that. They're like, you know what, I'm going to pray for you, because you can send a text at any time. And I'll tell people, you don't have to tell me the specifics. Just say, I need prayer, and I'll be praying for you. Yeah, I don't need to know all what's going on. I just need to know my friend needs prayer. And at that moment, I stop and I pray, or I keep going in what I'm doing, and I'm praying in my mind to the Father. Isn't that amazing that he gives me friends? Because the Bible says a friend loves at all times. You know, in different versions says a friend is loyal. They're going to be there for you. And there are some friends that I have that I'm kind of interesting as I've lived longer. I have a friend, one in particular, that we're separated by geographical distance and don't talk that often. We just don't. But we had a period of time where we lived close together, just a months, and then she was gone back to her place, and it was during another hurricane. But I can call at any time, and I mean, that connection is instant. We instantly go through a little bit of catching up on the family, or an instant prayer request. I mean, it's a different kind of relationship, but we begin to pray on the phone for each other right then. And we know that about each other. We know that is a deep, even though it hasn't had a lot of experiences, it's a deep friendship in prayer, in the Lord. And I am so thankful for the various friendships that I have. And I'm so thankful that God is giving me that through my relationship with him. He's left me on earth after my salvation. You know, he could have had, I could have been saved and poof, I'm going to heaven right away. But he's left me here on this earth. I have things that I need to do. I have a job to do. I am part of expanding the kingdom. And he's left me with not only co-laborers, but friends. I'm going to read this to you. I found a definition of friendship. I like to look up things in different words when I'm talking and speaking. And I found one from the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy. I think that's going to be interesting. And they said, friendship is a distinctively personal relationship that is grounded in a concern on the part of each friend for the welfare of each other, for each other's sake, and that involves some degree of intimacy. It's kind of what I went back into the beginning to say. There are things you share with each other. There are experiences that you share. There are prayer requests that you share, and you begin to know the other person. You know, but we also have that distinctively personal relationship, as that definition said, with God. So I'm going to shift over to, yes, we have friendship in prayer, but we also have a friendship with God. And prayer has granted us, I mean, he has granted us, but prayer has given us a way to do the same thing, is to text him, call him up, you know what I'm saying, and say, God, I'm in need of prayer. God, I want to spend time with you. Maybe it's not, like I've talked about before, it's not always about a list of things that you give to him, but it's about time with him. Sometimes I just want to talk to my friend. Sometimes I just want to be with my friend, and I say, hey, let's go grab a cup of coffee, or, you know, let's go to the movies, or let's go to eat or something. Let's have lunch together. I just want to be with my friend and see what's going on. God has granted us in Christ Jesus, as we talked about last week, so many things he has granted in Christ Jesus, as we talked about in Ephesians 3, that he wants that relationship. You know, remember I've talked about it. He wanted that relationship in the beginning, but sin came in. He was walking with Adam in the cool of the evening, and sin comes in, and he can't do that anymore. So what does he do? Yes, he sends the lamb to be slain before that happens, but he also then makes a way here on earth for me to continue to have that relationship. He has a tabernacle built and a temple built, and yes, he has to reside behind this thick veil that we can't have access to at the time. We couldn't have access to, but because he still wanted to be here and among man. And then we go to the New Testament where Jesus comes and he's on the cross and his body as the veil represented, as his body represented the veil, was rent in two, and we now have access. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, and man, just that part is amazing to me, as you heard me say. I just, unimaginable, that access that we have, you know, but like I say, there's a difference between relationship and friendship. So we've got access, we've got relationship, and then there's that friendship. So, you know, what tips that scale over, I think, you know, between relationship and friendship. Looking back at that definition, it's a distinctively personal relationship that involves some sort of degree of intimacy. You know, I may have a relationship with my boss, but I don't necessarily always have a friendship with my boss. Sometimes that colors the lines, you know. It can get in the way of the business or something. So friendship is much closer. Think about that with God. In Exodus 33:11, we see the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp by his young, but his young aide, Joshua, the son of Nun, did not leave the tent. He spoke to him face to face, and then Moses would return to camp. You go off, like I talked about. Sometimes you say, hey, I want to talk to you. Hey, I want to go have lunch with you. You go have that time together. And he did that with Moses. Time just devoted for God. And then in John 15:13-15, he says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. In the preceding verse, Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Can you imagine that? He's gone from giving us access and remote access a little bit. Well, you know, in the tabernacle, in the tent, we couldn't get close, in the temple, to relationship, to friendship. And he says those words specifically. In James 2:23, it says, and the scriptures was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Now, I get amazed when there's verses that say, when God says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. I mean, those personal pronouns are extremely personal to me. They should be to all of us. I will be your God, and you will be my people. Wow. I just get amazed at just that. But then we have that he calls us friends. Straight from his mouth, he calls us friends. That's amazing. There's a quote from Oswald Chambers that says this: the most important aspect of Christianity is not the work we do, but the relationship we maintain with God and the surrounding influence and qualities produced by that relationship. That is all God asks us to give our attention to. And it is the one thing that is continually under attack. Think about it, isn't it? Your time with God is continually under attack. You may rush in, like I've said before, when I talked about prayer, you may rush in with your list, and that's, I say, God, all I have time to do is tell you my needs. But what God really wants is friendship. He wants time with you. And like I said, it's not that you just sit there doing nothing. And people have asked me that before. I don't understand what be still and knows. Do I just sit there and do nothing? You know, when you're sitting in the presence with someone you love and you're doing nothing, you don't feel like you're doing nothing. You feel like you're bonding and spending time with them. just by being next to them, just by sitting at the park and looking at nature side by side. You may be doing nothing, quote unquote, but you're not. You're developing intimacy and time, and then conversation starts to come up, or you start to experience something together during your time together. And that's what God wants, is just spend time with him. Because I also know something about someone, the more I spend time with them, but you know, just being in the presence of God, you begin to sense him closer and closer and more, you sense his heart, you sense his love, you sense his peace, because he is peace, he is that love. And you begin to know him just by sitting with him. And again, we're in a task-oriented society, so we just think, but what do I need to do while I'm in prayer? And maybe that's the point of what I'm going through on this prayer series. I really thought it would be different when I heard God, you know, say do a series on prayer. I really, because I've taught on prayer before, I really thought, okay, well, I do have some things already written and some things that I've taught on. And I could go through that, I guess, and then all of a sudden he turned it into something different. And it is, if you've listened to the last two, it's been so much about it, that access. Can you believe he loves you enough to grant you access? That all that he did to grant you access and last week was, can you believe all that he has given us in Christ Jesus because he wants a relationship? I think the point of what God has been giving me is just, wow, what do we have that we don't, I don't want to say do or utilize, that sounds a different way to say it, but what is at our fingertips, what is right here for us that we don't do, I guess, and we take for granted, you know? So there's this hymn that came to mind as I was studying last night. You know, I grew up in a generation where we sang all hymns when I was growing up, and then, you know, later we moved out of that into what we have now, but hymns was all we had, and we had the hymn book, and we picked up the hymn book, and we turned to page such hymn number such and such, and we sang that hymn, and that's what we had. And those hymns still come back to mind so many times, and I'm gonna try to get through this, but the hymn "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" last night came to mind. So as I had finished writing what God had wanted me to write, I said, you know, I want to go and listen to that. So I pulled up YouTube and I just wanted to listen to the song. Just wanted to listen to the whole song. What I found as I was scrolling through, looking, isn't it funny? We look for people we know to sing it, and I don't know why, but I just wanted someone to sing the regular old hymn. And so I was looking for that. And then I came across the story behind the hymn. Now I have different books, on stories behind hymns, and I can't find them right now, but that was before we had internet, I guess, so I could look this up. And man, I was, as usual, amazed at the story behind the hymn. And so I'm going to read you this story behind the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." In the spring of 1844, in the hills of Ireland, clouds drifted across the painted skies, the hills were green, and for a young Irishman, the future was filled with hope and promise. Joseph Scriven had completed his university education and returned to his home outside Dublin. He was engaged to his childhood love and soon planned to take her hand in marriage. On the day before their wedding, Scriven's fiancée rode up to meet him along the banks of the river. In a terrifying instant, her horse was startled, and she was thrown head first into the rushing waters, knocked unconscious by the fall. She drowned minutes before Scriven arrived, and they were taking the body out of the water. And he was close enough to look, and he looked into the face of the girl that he was supposed to marry the next day. And he said later that the bottom of my world seemed to just disappear. And he said, no matter where I looked at in Ireland after that, I was always reminded of the wonderful day that I'd looked forward to that had never occurred. Emotionally shattered by the death of his love, Joseph Scriven turned to God for consolation and guidance. He decided to leave Ireland, and in 1845, he arrived in Ontario, Canada, where he would spend the rest of his life. Scriven settled near the town of Port Hope on the shores of Lake Ontario. There he committed himself to the ideals of Christ's Sermon on the Mount, devoting his life to helping others in need. Each day he walked these roads, assisting widows, the sick, and the poor. It was said that he never once denied a request for help, and that his greatest desire was to reflect the love of God through his life. For nearly 40 years, Joseph Scriven was living a life of charity and faith in the small Canadian town, and for his acts of kindness, he came to be known as the Good Samaritan of Port Hope. So he devoted his life and good deeds to love and good deeds to the people of his community there. And there's a story that said that one day they saw him walking down the street carrying a saw horse and a saw. And someone in the community said, well, there's Joseph Scriven. He's willing to saw wood for anyone. And this particular individual said, boy, I'd like to hire him to do it for me. I'd love to find a sober young man to cut wood for me. And the individual responded, well, you won't get Joseph Scriven because he only helps people who cannot pay or have no resources for which to reimburse you. So he really did want to help people out of the goodness of his heart. And because of God's grace, Joseph Scriven spent many years tutoring the children of Robert Pengelly, a retired British sea captain. It was in this house that he met and fell in love with Pengelly's niece, Eliza Rush. They were to be married in the spring of 1854, yet only weeks before their wedding, tragedy struck Scriven's life for a second time. Eliza Rush became ill with pneumonia. Despite Joseph's vigilant care for her, she died at the age of 23. Once again, Scriven was heartbroken by the loss of a woman he loved, and once again he found strength by turning to a God he looked upon as his closest friend. The following year, he wrote a poem to his mother in Ireland. His words describe this extraordinary friendship that had given him purpose and hope in the face of devastating pain. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. In a simple yet eloquent language, Joseph Scriven, a man well acquainted with sorrow and loneliness, had defined for the world the essence of a right relationship with God. He saw his Creator not as an impersonal force to be feared, but a loving Father and friend whose greatest desires is to carry our burdens and ease our pain. For the rest of his life, Scriven would continue to demonstrate his faith throughout Port Hope, and today, more than a century after his death, his profound insights into the true character of God still resound through the legacy of a timeless hymn. Joseph Scriven's poem was published anonymously first, nearly a decade passed before Scriven revealed to a neighbor and the rest of the world that he and the Lord together had written it. Today, What a Friend We Have in Jesus stands among the most beloved hymns ever penned, and outside Fort Hope, there's a monument that commemorates the life and work of a humble yet remarkable man who trusted God with the deepest burdens of his life and walked with him as his friend. You know, that is what I didn't expect. I think we expect sometimes these songs that are written and other things, poems or books, to, you know, that people haven't gone through great tragedy because they're thinking this great thing about God and what a beautiful God and we serve. And yet, sometimes it is through great tragedy that we really learn how great a friend Jesus really is, that God is with us no matter what. So friendship has been granted through this relationship with God, but through prayer, I can not only deepen that friendship with God, I can also deepen my friendship with those here on earth that I can call anytime, day or night. I can call God anytime, day or night. And in my times of distress and despair, as Joseph Scriven was well acquainted with, he just became closer and closer to the Savior. He became closer and closer to the one he knew was the one he needed to be with. We are done for this morning. For this week, I just want you to think about what a friend you have in Jesus. Maybe pull up that song and just listen to it and just let the emotions flow and cultivate that friendship you have with God. Maybe you don't have a close one with him right now, but cultivate that friendship, because as I'm trying to convey to you in these Monday's meditations on prayer, he deeply desires a relationship with you. And he deeply desires friendship with you. The Almighty God, the creator of the universe, beyond space and time, desires friendship with you. Y'all have a great day. and a great week. And I'll see you back next week. Bye-bye.